Dr. Carl Taylor.
Okay. Get me my fork over there, would you? Okay, thanks. Now, the first, incidentally, when I mentioned that A-plus zinc was good, you still can't hear me.
Your mic isn't on.
Hey?
Is your mic on?
Now, I mentioned to you that about hearing, back in Germany years ago, they took the middle ear bones out of a... Hello? Okay. He's starting a dance up here. In Germany, they have a practice where once you're dead, your body belongs to the state. Oh. And it can be pickled or done anything to for research purposes. And one of the research purposes they did, or programs they did, was to take the middle ears out of people that had died who they had a record or deaf or losing their hearing or had severe ringing in the ears. And when they crushed the bones and analyzed them, they discovered that they had, in fact, very low zinc levels. And when you give zinc levels to people that are low in hearing, that's one of the things. And of course, because A and zinc are synergistic, then you take them both together. Now, years ago, not too many years ago, I have grandchildren, that's one of them there. He was partly responsible for this, the one that's doing the reading. And on my birthday, my grandchildren gave me this unit here, which you can see is a fork. Look what they did to it. It's because they said, Granddad, you're putting on too much weight, and we're going to help you lose weight. This is what you eat with. However, what my grandchildren fail to realize is that what we make up for with age and weakness is cunning. So if you look at this fork, you can realize, look at those four tines. With a typical fork before, I could only put one wiener on it. Look at, I can put four on this one. Okay. All right. Now, here's what we see in the medical practice. And that's what we see, or would like to see, an ideal health balance. And what you notice here is the following, and I'm so sorry that you're so far back, but you need a basis of proper nutrition and lifestyle. You don't smoke. I used to say smokers, to smokers that those were fire nipples. And besides that, among other things in us young people, kisses should be delicious and not taste like old butts. Okay. Then you have a genetic pattern here that you need to hold up that lifestyle, and you have to have regular exercise and proper supplementation. And I'm going to show you tonight why it is you need proper supplementation. We won't be able to go into a whole bunch of detail, but we will definitely cover it, okay? Now, what the doctor sees nowadays is this. The nutrition base is broken. The genetics are bent out of going. The lifestyle is not there. Exercise is intermittent, and supplementation is either wrong or intermittent. And yes, you can have wrong supplements. Going back now, and people on that genetics thing forget that genetics also, genes, are living tissues, and they must have good nutrition or they, like any other part of the body, get ill. Okay? Now, in 1936, document 264 stated the U.S. farm and rain soils were depleted. Farm and rain soils were depleted. At the Earth Summit in Rio in June of 1992, The International Congress involving agricultural soil status, it was reported, and what was reported? Mystery, here it comes. On the basis of the summary of many North American studies, that according to the analysis of agricultural soil of North America, by 1992, the soil in North America had lost, get this folks, 85% of the minerals that were present 100 years prior. Now, people say, well, how did they know what it was like 100 years prior? Well, fortunately, there were some people from Germany that did a lot of traveling around, and they tested the soil in great detail, telling how the tests were set up and so on, so they were able to do the comparisons. So 85% of the minerals present 100 years previous. We therefore are living, on the rest, which is 15%, and that was 1992, and I can tell you right now, it's less than 15%. One of the things we have lost now as a result of this, eating plant material that's from those particular types of soils, is that the plants are deficient and the domestic animals on which we feed on are also deficient. I'm going to have to watch. I have a great joy in going on bunny trails. Now, Sir Albert Heward, Imperial Economic Botanist of India, also did agricultural experiments in China and Japan, and in his work on soil and plant nutrition, animal feed and related diseases, he made some very significant observations. And he was decades ahead of his time. Now, this is what he discovered. Here's that. When the organic broad-spectrum fertilizer supplements were used, what's an organic broad-spectrum supplement for soil? It's good old-fashioned manure, but they've got to have eaten, they should be eating good stuff, because if they're eating deficient stuff, deficiency in is deficiency out, okay? So this is what they noticed if they used the good stuff. Plants looked good, they were better keeping, they were disease resistant, and they were higher in nutrition. Now, Heward, he originated the famous indoor process, INDORE, which is a broad-spectrum compost for soil, providing both nature's knowns and unknowns, for a very simple reason. We don't know everything about nutrition or soil. So when comparing healthy soils to worn-out soils, even when they're treated with chemical fertilizers, the latter, or mainly the worn-out soils, produced, and this is with the fertilizer, poorer-looking plants, poorer-keeping quality, were susceptible to disease, required assistance from insecticides and fungicides, and were lower in nutrition. So, when chemical fertilizer helped soils, it simply told them one thing, and that was, showed that the soils were not fertile or healthy to start with. In other words, those soils that demand fertilizer of NPK, that's what they call nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, they were deficient, and your produce comes from that kind of soil in Canada and United States. And it's been supplemented that way. So comparisons again showed that animals eating broad-spectrum growth from healthy soil were themselves healthy and they resisted disease. And the same thing applies to us. We'll point that out as we get on. We're just getting by some fast stuff here, and we'll go a little slower when we get to something that might be slightly a little more complex. Now, for example, he took two groups of oxen. One group eating growth from broad-spectrum soil, fertilized with the good stuff, manure. The other group eating growth from large spectrum, as is now our habit. Then he had both of them had to walk through an area that was just loaded with foot and mouth disease. Well, what happened? Let's see what happened. You'd expect some bad things to occur. Here were the results. The oxen eaten from the narrow spectrum soil and exposed to the foot and mouth disease, they were very ill and many of them died. But the oxen eating from broad spectrum soil, and therefore meaning the grass, they didn't eat the dirt, 100% of them remained healthy in spite of their exposure to the disease. Okay? So, our soils are badly depleted. We know that now. So we need extra, which is a good food-based supplement. And it's called being wise and having a spare for safety reasons. Okay? Now everybody should be wise and have a spare for safety reasons. Broad spectrum soil is best. And here's a wonderful example. Now they have a university research station at Lethbridge in Alberta. And in 1956, the scientists there stripped the topsoil. They did that because what they wanted to do was get better water flow for irrigation. So they took the topsoil off. Okay? Now, for the next 26 years, they applied NPK, sulfur, calcium, you name it. And for over a quarter of a century, you can just see these guys going back and forth trying to get that soil back into good shape. And they applied various chemical fertilizers which failed to return the fertility at all. But when someone suggested they apply cow manure on it, the soil reached 80% of its former fertility in 80 years. I'm sorry, 80% in 1 year. So what, can you imagine, 26 years, all of these agricultural grads with their high degrees going there, good morning, Joe, good morning, Harry. Finally, 26 years, some of them say, good morning, Joe, you know, and they're getting it. For over a quarter of a century, they've been doing the same thing, trying to get the soil to come up. And what a group of highly geared scientists were unable to do in over a quarter of a century, a few uneducated cows were able to do in just a few months. Okay? So, the spokesperson for Agricultural Canada indicated that, quote him literally, it's impossible to duplicate manure's effect with chemical fertilizers. In other words, what he said was, a narrow spectrum supplement will never substitute for a broad spectrum supplement. And that's what the fertilizer is. It's a supplement for the soil. Okay? And, of course, here's the article that came from. Okay? He said, we cannot duplicate manure's effect. It does things that chemical fertilizers will never do. If you think that's really interesting, how do you like that headline? This truck hauls grain in the morning and manure at lunch. So I don't know whether that's trying to tell you that you're really getting good grain, okay? Okay. Well, we have experts referring to soils and vitamins may imply things that are not true in part, even by experts. And you know what an expert is? X, that means a has-been, and a spurt is a drip under pressure. Okay? And here's something. This is taken from, it says, ask the experts, and I won't quote it here. You can come up to me afterwards. But this is supposed to be, it's suggested that it's the world's top source for nutritional information. Okay? It's a big university in California. And here's what they say. And they're talking about a myth here. And we're going to go over this. This myth, they quote, is saying this, that the myth is that the vitamin content of fruits and vegetables is determined by the soil they grow in. Fact, and here's what they tell us. It said people selling nutritional supplements or specially grown fruits and vegetables sometimes claim that American soil has been depleted and therefore our food is lacking in nutrients. You know that switch on the word? They talk about vitamins at first and then they switch to the subject of nutrients, and I underline that's the first red there. Well, nutrients include minerals and a lot of other things in the soil, not just vitamins. So they're playing with words. But then they say, but if the growing soil is good enough to produce a healthy plant, the vitamins, and then it puts in brackets, as well as the carbohydrates, fats, and proteins found in that species will be present and available. Then they make the statement, all the vitamins in plants are manufactured by the plants themselves according to their own genetic program. I'm going to show you how that is absolutely false. Absolutely false. And you'll see it for yourself very easily. Okay? Then it says, goes down here, like people, plants need adequate nutrients to develop and function, but unlike people, plants need, get this, only water, carbon dioxide from the air, and 13 minerals which they obtain from the soil. Well, they tried for 26 years in Lethbridge, and they tried that. It didn't work. And these are the world's experts. Okay, it says if the fruits, and the last sentence says, still, if the fruits and vegetables you buy look unblemished and healthy, they should retain much of their vitamin content. Now, let's have a look at this. Now, they mention that all vitamins are produced in the plants according to their own genetic program. Well, why is that false? It's false because if there's no cobalt in the soil, no vitamin B12 gets into the plant, and it's a vitamin. They said all vitamins. These are supposed to be the experts, so they're supposed to watch what they say, okay? So cobalt is an exception, and we'll show you why. And then they said all the plants need, and here these people had spent 26 years, and they discovered that wasn't all that plants needed, okay? So what do they say? Well, they'd say if it looks healthy, it's okay. What's a healthy plant? One that looks like it? When saying all vitamins, okay, B12 cannot be found in the plant if it's grown in cobalt-deficient soil. Now, and then we told you that the people had tried that over and over. Now, let me show you what happens if you have no cobalt in the soil. They say it doesn't matter. All right. Then have a look at those two animals there. That's not cobalt, incidentally. This is soil depletion. They said doesn't matter what the soil's like if the plant looks healthy. Well, the grass that this poor guy was eating up top there was what looked like healthy grass. But it was deficient in copper primarily, also in a bit of iron. But look at the difference. Now, after a few weeks, this is the same calf after they finally gave it a copper iron supplement. Okay, telling us, screaming out at us. Now what happens to this guy up here? Often the farmer will ship it in and you get it in your hamburger or stew meat. Okay? So don't tell me that the soil doesn't make a difference as to how you are, because if you're eating the same kind of produce, guess what? I get a lot of patients like that one up there, and I far rather prefer them looking like this. Okay. Not that I'm saying that you ladies are young cows, all right? Incidentally, when we're talking about copper here, you should know that copper permits enzymes to destroy germs. And copper itself is a bactericidal. But one of the things that really strikes me important about copper is this. Where do you have the maximum copper in your body? In your aorta. Now the aorta is that big pipe that takes the blood from the left ventricle and it's the big pressure pipe all the way through. As we get older, our copper intake often isn't absorbed very much and we lose strength in that aorta along with silica. We tend not to eat enough fiber as we get older. And then we get a weakness in the aorta, and doctors in patients that are in their late 70s and 80s will often get a phone call, your patient is just here, but they'll be dead by the time you get to the hospital. Say, why? Well, the doctor thinks they've got a ruptured aorta. And it blows because it doesn't have the strength. No one can, you can't visualize how much strength you've got to have in that. And copper and silica help prevent that from happening in the older person. We used to, when we were doing research on lab animals, you had their chest open, they were anesthetized and so on, and then you're over. What they used to do is just either give it a shot and the dog would be put to sleep while he was still under the anesthetic, and that was fine. But once in a while we'd see a big fella come in like a football player, big hands, like kind of like Frank's, you know. You've seen his hands? Great big ones. And you might have a small little dog there and his heart's beating, and we'd say, just hold it so the heart can't beat. So they'd get there and put their hands together and fold their fingers real nice and tight, like so. I'll just hang on to that one, honey. Like this. And that little heart would just blast those hands right apart. And their eyes would open up like this, and they couldn't believe the strength. We'd say, oh, you must be kind of weak. So now you'd see them get in there, still blasted apart. That's tremendous pressure that's being used on that aorta, but copper helps. Now, here's, when remember when we said the expert said that didn't matter what the soil was like? Well, here's a cow that has a cobalt deficiency. One of the things associated with that, of course, is the loss of appetite, and there's lack of appetite, and he's low on cobalt, which means he's low on vitamin B12. Okay, now look at that cow. If he's not holding it up there, it's going down pretty soon. Okay? Now, that points out that the grass looked okay, but it was low on cobalt. This is exactly contrary to what those so-called experts are saying. Here is that same cow 16 days later after you put him on cobalt. Now, isn't that a difference? Now you got a happy guy, only he doesn't know how to show it. Okay? So don't tell me that vitamin B12 is not important. And there's a contrast between the two. That's that, and there's 16 days later after starting the cobalt feeding. Now that looks like a cow. And it's amazing that one didn't get into your hamburger. What's your principal source of B12? Meat. And that top guy, you'd have eaten him thinking you were getting your B12. You weren't getting your B12. How do you know that you need B12? One of the things is that if you got your eyes closed in the shower, you have to put your hand out to hold on the wall because your balance isn't as good as it used to be. Well, another reason is that when the snow and ice get all bumpy and you're walking along and your balance isn't as good as it used to be. Another sign. There's a few others, but that's one of them. Well, because our agricultural soils are lacking, crops and feed animals are showing it. Now, let me just give you an example here. Now, how many of you have ever bought a grapefruit that looked like that? A lot of you, okay? Now, grapefruit aren't our biggest source of magnesium. What's our biggest source of magnesium, do you know? Snails. Yeah, but most people, yeah, the French people, could know that, I guess. But I don't suggest that because they're also high in heavy metals, which knocks your enzyme systems. Well, here's magnesium deficiency in grapefruit foliage, showing yellow of the leaves adjacent to the fruit. After a while, when the grapefruit are sitting out there looking nice and yellow with the odd little wee bit of a brown spot on them, all the leaves are gone off the tree so that they're not protected anymore from the cold. And the leaves will often shed, leaving the fruit on a long twig devoid of foliage. Now, that happens to be a magnesium-deficient fruit. But that looks like a normal grapefruit to me. We've bought lots of them that way. Well, we just finished reading from the experts that if it looks good, it's healthy, and it's got everything. It doesn't have everything. Okay? Now, let me tell you a little bit about the importance of magnesium. In East Africa, they had starving children. And in their treatment of starving children, 40% of them, they did not have success in treating those kids whatsoever. Then, they decided to add, and that's when they gave them proteins, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals. But they'd left out an important one, magnesium. And so when they added magnesium to these proteins, carbohydrates, vitamins, and minerals, there was a marked improvement in the treatment of these sick children. They did not have the 40% failures that they originally had. Okay? Now, if you want to eat iris moss, you can get a lot of magnesium from that, and so on. But I think you have to eat quite a bit of it so that your purse would be really bulging, and so would the men's pocket. So I don't suggest that one. Okay? Now, remember they said it didn't matter how the what was in the soil as to the fruit? Well, in Baer's book called Soils in Relationship to Growth, it's an out-of-print book now, but the amount of magnesium in soils varies from a mere trace in some of the sandier types of soil to as much as 1% in some of those containing a considerable amount of clay. We buy grapefruit like that, and we're buying deficient grapefruit. The problem is we get a whole bunch of other plants and fruits and vegetables that are deficient as well. Magnesium is known as the calcium blocker. It means that the magnesium prevents calcium from entering into cells. When calcium enters into cells, the organs and tissues made up of that of those cells contract, and so you get what we'd call spasm. Let me tell you how important CalMag is for you. Okay, magnesium is aids in vasodilatation. Now, CalMag is extremely important. One of the things it's important for is as this headline in the Medical Post for doctors, magnesium may be a boon to heart patients. 930 heart attack victims found that the mortality rate was 54% lower for magnesium-treated patients. That's a pretty good thing, but I've got even better research than that that I have in my head, which I will tell you about. In London, England, they have a lot of groups of residential areas with a hospital right smack in the middle of the group. As a consequence, it takes an ambulance on a 911 call about 12 minutes to get you from your house to the hospital emergency room. Now, this particular hospital had a record of with heart attacks that 31% of those patients were dying. And that seems like it's a terrible record. And the reason it seems terrible is very simple. In a place, a big city like Calgary, where it might take you forever, I think, to get to a hospital, there's at least the majority of people who have a heart attack die in their first 1.5 to 2 hours. I know in Edmonton it takes that long to get to a hospital through those red lights. I think whoever set those red lights went to sleep between the lights. But anyway, so they come in and we get a lot of DOAs, dead on arrivals. Okay, so they get shoved directly to the morgue and they don't get included in the statistics. So if 2 hours has gone by and you've already lost your 30% of people, you can say that the people that have come into your hospital have survived a lot, and we get a lot more survivors. Almost 100% of them survive. That's a lot better than that hospital in London, England that loses 31%. See how you have to know a little bit before you start playing with the statistics there. Well, what they did is they found out something. In Canada here, if any of us that are a bit overweight have a heart attack, they rush us in, And they will give us what's known as RTP or TPA. It's tissue plasminogen activating factor. It only costs $2,800 for a hypodermic full. Fortunately, the hospital sends the bill, or at least the government pays the bill directly to the drug company. Do you think the drug companies like that? Wonderful, because a man like this gentleman here, they would give him two shots. Now that's up to $5,600 already. He's only been in the hospital for less than 15 minutes. All right? Now, here's the results of those shots. After the first shot, first of all, he's got about a 26% less chance of having a second heart attack, according to all the studies around the world. Secondly, unfortunately, one out of 10 people getting the shot have a bit of an intracranial bleed. And one out of every 10 of those bleeds has a frank stroke. Now, that's not good. That means one out of 100 getting that, or you come in with chest pain. Now, if they can walk, they're lucky afterwards. And that's not very good. And you've already spent, say, $5,600 for the shot. Well, what they discovered was that in Kentucky, when you have horses that run on a hot day and have a heart attack, and incidentally, some of those horses are worth $20 million. They have the best in the world for treating them. And what do they treat them with? Magnesium, right off the bat. So this hospital scratches his head and says, you know, why don't we try magnesium on human beings? You know, it's very simple. It costs less than a dollar. Okay? It did. For two doses. So they did. For their next 201 patients, normally they would have had how many deaths? 62 or 63 deaths. Guess how many deaths they had? One. Now that was written up in the British Medical Journal. The first people to pick that up in Canada was the Civic Hospital in Ottawa, where our politicians go to. The last hospital in the world I wish they'd picked it up. My advice to you is please take your CalMag before you have your heart attack. Okay? And if you get chest pain, get that swallowed down immediately. Now we go to manganese. This is in an orange tree. Okay, newly matured orange leaves showing dark green areas along the midrib, main lateral veins, light green areas between the veins. Note that the leaves are normal in size and shape. These leaves will become dull green at full maturity. Okay? So, if the soil has a high pH, then there's much less manganese available for the individual, okay, for the plants. Now, what good is manganese for? Well, first of all, it's in nuts, and it depends which nut you eat, okay, and which one you nibble on. I think she knows what I'm talking about. And anyway, so all nuts are high in manganese. One of the things that manganese does, it helps prevent you from having allergic reactions. That's kind of nice. The other thing that they've just recently found out is that cashew nuts improve your long-term memory. I don't mind that at all. Yeah. And they taste pretty good. Okay? So, manganese is always low if you eat too much red meat, like I did at supper time, okay, because of the phosphorus, and if your calcium intake is way up. I saw one of my patients, he thought, well, CalMag's that good. He said, I'm going to take lots of it, and he was taking 18 tablets a day. He came in to see me because the diarrhea was dehydrating him and making him very sore in the t'other end. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. Now, manganese is in the necessary in the formation of your thyroid, so a few nuts will help for people that are low thyroid. If you're low in manganese, what's one of the signs? A little bit of loss of balance. I don't have quite have the balance I used to have. A little bit of dizziness, and of course, as we mentioned, a tendency toward allergies and so on. Okay? Especially high in pecans. It's also high, next highest in barley, next in rye, and that's the grain men, not the what you're thinking of. Okay, and split peas, whole wheat, walnuts in order. And you do get it. Probably one of the highest in nature is in the red raspberry leaf. That's high, so if you eat raspberry leaves. Incidentally, when our sheep ever got out of their pen or broke through the fence and got into our garden, which was fenced, the first thing they would eat is every single raspberry leaf in the garden. They'd leave the lettuce, everything else alone until the last raspberry leaf was gone. Okay. Well, soil quality remains important in the production of whole foods, and soil, like humans, requires a broad spectrum intake, or both plant and animal become deficient, whether it shows or not, and we will show you that. Because what I showed you was the worst scenarios. Well, not quite the worst, they were still alive. But you have degrees of that, and we have people suffering degrees of that as time goes on. Okay? Now, what do we know next? And that is that we got to remember that we're going to just show you a little bit of processing later on. You take poor food, because out of the soil, and now you process it and make it even worse. You do not know how badly you are being treated in terms of the food you're eating. Now look at this. Here is a full-spectrum soil advantage taken from Smith's work in Chicago, who likes to go to New York, who phones me from New York, an hour and a half a call in the middle of the day. I'm glad he pays the phone bill. But here you got a difference. Now notice what we've got here. This is the average percent more than the commercial source, the ones you buy. Okay? But this is now taken from certified organically grown materials, so the soil has been certified. Now down here along this is the baseline of the commercial source, and this now is the percentage more that was found in the standard stuff that you bought at your big grocery store. All right? Look at this. In wheat, you had 120% more calcium in certified organically grown wheat than you did have in the wheat you bought at the grocery store. So that means what? Well, you're going to have less osteoporosis for one thing, because you're getting more natural calcium that way, okay? And you're going to have fewer fractures of the hips if you're eating whole wheat that's certified organic. I don't know about you, but we go to my wife's sister is in one of those senior citizens' homes, and almost every one of them is walking along, she is, because of fractured hips, on these units, these walkers. Well, what was it, 3 weeks ago, I fell down. I got some new shoes, and I got some advice. Check the shoes out for their friction. It was marvelous on these floors, marvelous on marble, but it was like ball bearings on the plastic runner that you put over top of the rugs. My feet, I was at the back door, my feet went out from under me. I broke a bone in my neck. I knocked myself cold. I blew my right shoulder. I bled right through the jacket here. Crack fracture here. I broke two ribs and punctured my left lung. Now, the interesting thing was, it would have been a lot worse if I hadn't been on this. Yeah. Okay. All right. So my advice to you is check your soles of those new shoes. Okay. Now, look at the amount of potassium. 350% or 60% more potassium in certified organically grown wheat than the stuff you buy at the grocery store. What's potassium? Well, potassium is an enzyme activator. If you look at cancer cells, you will always find that the cancer cell itself has only 15% of the potassium in it that the normal healthy cell has. Whereas it also has 10 times as much sodium or salt in it than the normal cell has. So potassium's an enzyme activator. Without enzymes, you don't live. You don't hear, you don't see, you don't smell, you don't taste, you don't digest, you don't breathe, your heart doesn't beat, and you can do nothing in the bedroom. Okay? All right. So you get less cancer if you have this. Look at the magnesium levels, over 415 or so percent higher. And that means you're going to have less heart attacks. We already told you about that, okay? You're going to feel more relaxed. You know these young teenage girls and young fellas, but especially girls, that they get so rangy-tangy and mother just can't control them. They're like a cat with its claws out all the time. Okay? Or some kids get these terrible leg cramps at night. Well, CalMag really helps. Magnesium calms them right down. It does so in less than a week. I see a couple of mothers that are saying, oh, good. Yeah, they wanted to know. Put them on CalMag. Three a day, four a day if they're having constipation. Okay? Sooner or later, CalMag solves that problem. Okay. And now you have chromium 50% higher or so, 55 to 60% higher, so there's going to be a lot less diabetes, okay? So there's another data showing that it does, in fact, depend what the soil's like as to what's in the plants. You see how we're blowing that the expert's theory apart? Now, here's the other thing. This is also wheat, but look at this one. This is now looking at average percent more than the organic source in the heavy metals, or in the metals. Look at this. Lead, over 540%. What is that? 640. That is 600, yeah. Over 640% higher in lead if you buy the stuff from the stores rather than organic source. Look at mercury, the one that gives you ataxia and nerve problems, okay? This is long-term memory loss here. This one is severe emotional outbursts in people with decreased appetite and inflammation of the gums. This one, sodium, too much salt, it's more cancer and... It definitely is associated with some cases of high blood pressure, not all. And here's aluminum, more than 220 or so times percent higher than the average organic source. And that stuff is, in fact, related to, it's going to mean more seizures and more Alzheimer's. So as if that wasn't bad enough now, so you can see why you need you need good food and good supplementation. Now notice this. Here's how they make a food component. See that narrow spectrum wheat? Now look what they do to it. They grind it up into all these different components. They wash and heat roll it. They have it air rolled and then air cleaned. And then they make the finest patent family flour, second patent baker's flour, first clear flour, high in MSG, next the feed flour, which they give to the hogs, middlings, which they give the hog and cattle feed, shorts, which is small bran, and finally the wheat germ. But they roll the wheat germ. 85% of wheat germ sold in Canada goes to the Kodak company. And they take the oil out of it, and sell it back to the drugstores. It's known as diversification. Okay? So your white bread in store is only an eighth of the proportion. Where is that? Let's show that there. This thing, yeah. Look at this. We've taken some wheat, and I guess, boy, if you don't think this creates excitement in the airport, okay? What's this white powder here? Okay. And this is what you're buying when you there's the commercial flour, the so-called bakers. So when you get white bread, that's all you're getting. The body's looking around for this kind of stuff. All the rest of it says, I need this in order to handle this. Where is it? You didn't eat it with the white bread, so it's got to steal it out of your body from something else. Okay? So that's that. When you have brown bread, then you get these two, and you leave all of this behind. So that's your brown bread commercial. This is why we like making our own. And you can't even get wheat germ now, that's straight wheat germ, because they've already rolled it and taken the oil out. That's why I show it independently. So you are being robbed, and if you keep eating foods that's robbing you, you get into trouble. There's a little prayer, and we're getting close to Sunday. It says, forgive us, our Lord. Give us this day our daily calcium propionate, which is the spoilage retarder. Sodium diacetate, which is the mold inhibitor. Monoglyceride, which is the emulsifier. Potassium bromate, which is the maturing agent. Calcium phosphate monobasic, which is the dough conditioner, they call it. Chloramine T, which is the flour bleach. Aluminum potassium sulfate, which is the acid baking powder ingredient, sodium benzoate, which is the preservative, butylated hydroxyanisol, which is the antioxidant, and monoisopropyl citrate, which is the sequestrant, plus synthetic vitamins A and D. And then the last part of this is, forgive us, O Lord, for calling this stuff bread. Okay. Now, whole wheat has much more B complex in natural form, less calories per slice, much increased fiber. It sustains life, whereas animals die in around 3 to 3+ months on white bread. It avoids bleaches, softeners, and some mild retardants. It can have a major source of your vitamin E, which we'll talk about next. Vitamin E, and incidentally, in bread now, they take the vitamin E out. Why? Because it's a fat, and it'll go rancid if you leave it exposed. So they just eliminate it so you don't get the vitamin E. If you make your own and you buy the whole wheat flour at the grocery store, be sure you to get some Rogers wheat germ and add it in to the machine makers for your bread. It'll be better because there's 22% of the of your amino acids in that. So vitamin E protects red blood cell membranes from breaking down. And the astronauts, the red cells broke down, and they used to originally come back anemic. And it was one of the members of Dr. Schutz's assistants that discovered that, okay? Red blood cells protect those cell membranes, and that's compulsory. Vitamin E is compulsory for American astronauts as it prevents the anemia. It greatly reduces claudication. Do you know what claudication is? Claudication is when you're walking or running and suddenly your legs go into the cramps. Oh, and you have to stop and wait until the cramp goes away. That's claudication. It means cramping of the legs on exercise. Real classic sign of a deficiency of vitamin E. It increases blood supply in atherosclerotic limbs. So if you've got atherosclerosis, it's very efficient or effective. Now, there's over 32 medical papers supporting that particular statement. It makes keloids disappear. Well, do you know what keloids are? Okay, if you get a bad cut, sometimes a bad cut, the scar will start to rise right over that. Classic sign for a deficiency of vitamin A. That's a keloid scar. And some people have these big, thick, wide-looking scars. Vitamin E will dissolve them down Selenium E will, but it takes about 3 to 4 years. Now, I don't know, some of you may have come or have some association with farms. I'm just going to go to that after. And have you ever seen Dupuytren's contracture? Dupuytren's contracture is where you get scars in the palm of your hands, and it's along the tendon sheath, and they'll shrink as the scar tissues mature. They shrink, and they pull your fingers down, and you can see farmers and truck drivers, and they, like my mother had this, because she was born on a homestead, and she said, "Look at me," in her old age. She said, "I'm nothing but a crab." Okay. So she went to her doctor, and of course, the doctors only know surgery for repairing this. But the doctor says, "I'm sorry." He said, "I can't give surgery on you. You're in your 80s, and your heart is terrible. You couldn't take the anesthetic." Well, she says, "Okay. Well, my son says he can cure me with supplements." And he said to her, "Your son is a quack." Well, my mom didn't like that very much, and she told him so. Mind you, she was a nurse, and she felt I was a quack, but she didn't like that other fella making the same statement. So she went on the Selenium E, and after 3.5 years, she could open her hands for the first time in decades, just like that. So when she went up to him, she'd say, "Hi." And when she left again, she said, "Bye." And he never apologized, so I lost all my respect for that man. Okay. If you can't acknowledge truth, then I have trouble with you. Okay. Now, vitamin E prevents most thrombophlebitis. There's over 60 medical papers confirming that. And vitamin E deficiency can lead to neurological symptoms in kids. As a matter of fact, your mother should know that if you have a new baby and the head is flopping all around like this, I can tell mom was not taking any vitamin E. Because you give that little baby a few little drops, you have to give it according to its size and so on, of liquid vitamin E, and within a week to 10 days, it's no longer got this floppy head. It's known as white muscle disease to those of you that have cattle, okay? You got a deficiency in your muscles. Selenium E, because selenium and E are synergistic, it decreases the cysts in the breast that some women have a lot of, decreases night leg cramps if you take it with Calmag, okay? Oh, now, how are we coming? When do you want to have a break? Well, we've only gone an hour. Keep going? Okay. I'm for it. Okay. So we can see, therefore, that we eat low-spectrum foods regularly, and when the plant is stressed, the nutrition is decreased. This shows up in the cycle previously shown, and its effect in the animals that eat these plants. We've also given you some indication. I could have spent all night giving you pictures of plants and animals that way. But I think you've got the message now. We don't have to do that. And we've also shown that these experts were, yeah. All right. Now, for example, just what I just finished saying. Look at this. If you take butter, cows fed winter or stressed forage, and you look at the butter, the vitamin A in it is only 2,000 international units per pound. Okay? But if the cows are on summer forage, you get 12,000 international units per pound of butter. What do you learn from that, apart from the fact that you should buy your butter in the early fall and put it in the deep freeze, right? Okay, the other thing you learn, A plus zinc makes up for that. And A plus zinc is very important. A plus zinc, let me give you an idea. If the research in Indonesia showed very, very well, particularly with children and also with adults, that if you had diarrhea, if you had pneumonia, if you had a bad fracture, if you had a bad burn, if you had an acute abdomen and had surgery for a blocked bowel, your chances of death from those goes up 300% if you are the slightest bit low on vitamin A. So if you've got a child that is sick, I remember I got phoned from Regina or outside of Regina one day, and the man was in great tears. They had one child. He was 13 years of age, I think 13 or 14. He had been shot by one of his neighbor's friends that were playing with a gun. They shouldn't have done it. That's no reason, incidentally, for taking guns away from the citizens, because when the citizens have them, you have good government. When they don't have them, you have a police state. Yeah. But anyway, this kid had been shot. The bullet went through his left lung, went through his liver, went through his stomach, went through his, it hit the spleen too. I think they had to take the spleen out. And it went through his liver, right lung, and out through. He was in the intensive care unit, of course. And the doctor says, typically, they'd drawn a graph, and they could see him going down. And they had just told him, your son probably has no more than 2 days or so to live now. And the poor father phoned up in tears. So I told him how to sneak in some A-plus zinc so that this give this kid some resistance to the terrible stress he was in, and gave him a few other hints. And you have to know what to do in order to sneak this stuff past doctors and nurses in the intensive care units. It's too bad that we have to do it that way. But within 24 hours, the son's graph, as it was going down, leveled off, and he started to go up on the second day. And the doctor says, we don't know what's happened here, but something happened the day before yesterday. And by tonight, it looks like your son has a chance of making it. Well, when the son walked out of the intensive care unit, or not walked out of it, but they shipped him into the standard, said he's only in the standard room for maybe another 2 days, then he can go home. Father wrote me a letter. You know, they told us when we were in med school that if we ended up with one letter of thanks from anybody, we would be a very rare doctor. Well, this letter, you know, we're funny, we're sentimental that way. We keep all the letters we get that we get like this. But this one was just tear-soaked as his father wrote that he'd got his son back home. And I'll never forget that letter, and it's one of my most prized possessions. It just makes me feel good. Okay. All right. Broad-spectrum foods, broad-spectrum supplements, broad-spectrum herbs, etc., give far more health insurance than narrow synthetic products. And we're going to show you this as one of the last slides. You'll find it very interesting, which we're not near yet. So if you compare vitamin A from a food source, from vegetables, to that derived from acetylene gas, where a lot of it is made from. Now, acetylene gas, God didn't expect you were going to be engulfing that stuff. But I suppose you could make that kind of vitamin A a little more broad spectrum if you added the acetylene rod with it. Vitamin E, a lot of it, compare that from taken from wheat germ or from soya germ versus the other source, which is very common in our health food stores and drug stores, namely terpol, the very same stuff that you make turpentine out of. And again, God didn't expect that we were going to be swallowing paint thinner. Okay? It's a tremendous difference. Now, here is some of the difference. You know, man makes, now we're talking about man fiddling around with the food we've got. Well, here's a good fiddle. Medical Post, look at those two animals, were exactly the same size exactly 3 weeks prior to them going on a program. And this program was to determine the effect of cholesterol in the human body, or in the rat's body anyway. But they were identical size 21 days earlier from the same litter. Look at this. Now this one was on real egg, the one on the left, and the one on the right was on the egg that you get, where do you think? Hospitals. Yeah, okay. Very intriguing. That was the powdered egg. Well, let's have a look and see what was in that. That broad spectrum advantage, the one was on the real egg. The narrow spectrum powdered egg, by law, has to have the following, and this is what it had. It had vitamin A in it. This is the powdered egg you get in hospital. That's why they say it's so good. Vitamin A, vitamin B, B1, vitamin B2, vitamin B3, B6, B12, pantothenic acid, folic acid, a lot of Bs. Then vitamin E, calcium, iron, zinc, and potassium. Now, if you look at that, that's a typical vitamin mineral supplement you get. It doesn't work. Every one of those animals on that were dead after 21 days. And they were supposed to be alive for years so they could do their tests. They lost them all. Okay? Okay. So again, as noted, the list of vitamins and minerals present in the narrow spectrum supplement contain 9 vitamins, 4 essential minerals, which is a typical vitamin mineral supplement. And look at this, but all died. You notice that BAD, but all died. Okay. Okay. So here, the narrow spectrum supplement, not only was it of no help, but they died on it. Okay. Now, even the drug companies know that you need synergism. And look at that one. You got to have more than one thing altogether. And they have sex, sleep, and Cirzone, first line in depression therapy. And they go, now they're beginning to learn about synergism, you see. And men say, well, with that first one, well, how could I be depressed, okay? Well, sometimes narrow spectrum intake is fatal to humans. In the Orient, in the mid-20s, rice was started to be polished, okay? Removing the vitamin B1 and the bran. What was the result? Thousands die of beriberi. Do you know that today in Chinese cities, there's over 10,000 deaths from beriberi in the big Chinese cities. And we don't know how many in the smaller cities, okay? So, what's interesting with this B1 deficiency, that one of the things in young adults can lead to sudden ventricular arrhythmia and death if they're low. So you have someone who doesn't like to eat very much, you better make sure that they have their bees are in stressed bees. Treatment of beriberi with broad spectrum bees results in more rapid cure than treatment with narrow spectrum bees because of synergism in broad spectrum supplements. Another example of the danger of narrow spectrum stuff was skim milk powder used by UNESCO in the middle 1960s. They took it over to Indonesia where these children were dying of starvation. How are we doing on the sound back there? Is the battery still holding on? It is, good, okay. And what they did was when they took it over and gave to these kids, to their horror, only the kids that they'd given the powdered milk to developed blindness. Some of them, it was so bad that they have records when they woke up in the morning, the lenses of their eyes had been expelled and were sitting on the top part of their cheeks. They stopped the program because they thought somebody had poisoned it. They didn't ask anybody that knew anything about it. They spent 2.5 years and they finally discovered the reason these kids went blind was this. You need vitamin A to convert the protein you eat into tissue in your body. Now these kids were starving. And so when they ate the powdered milk with the protein in it, and they'd taken the cream away where all the fat-soluble vitamin A is in there, when they ate it, the body said, oh good, I've got protein. All I need now is vitamin A in order to convert this protein into muscle on my skinny legs and arms. And hunted around and said, oh, I found 2 little wee sources. And they were in the eyeballs with your vitamin A, because God has set you up so that the last thing you need to do is go blind, so that if you're really vitamin A deficient, you at least have enough sight to go and find the first food you can find that might have some A in it. So they went blind because they just stole it from there. Now, for example, in this country, it's illegal to sell powdered milk without having a synthetic vitamin A added to it. Okay? Now, there's a very need for supplements. Now, here's those of you that are a little more technical will enjoy this. You go from a vitamin. Let me go over here so I won't get in the way. Vitamin to a coenzyme, which is diet dependent, to an apoenzyme, which is genetic dependent, and to a haloenzyme, which is the active enzyme. Okay? Now what does this say? Since all people have their own genes down here, they're going to have a different level of these apoenzymes. Okay? So apoenzymes, these ones here, will vary. Different diets also for the diet that was up here somewhere. And finally, so you'll get different levels of coenzymes. But what it means, what this is saying is this. This is telling us that if you're that you can get over this genetic problem down here if you improve your diet, okay, and you increase the number of vitamins you take in, then you will get more active enzyme. Why? Because if you add lots of this, you're going to have more of this, and you're going to use up all the apoenzyme there is, so it's going to kind of suck these genes and say, hey, we need all you can get, and you'll get all you can get simply by increasing this. Which all this is telling us that everybody's different, and when they're low, you can give them more vitamins than the other person will have, and you can make them just as well. Well, because, okay, that's all I've said here is the same thing, okay. Now, look at this. In mutation research, April of 2001, well, that's fairly recent, wouldn't you say? It was noted that a deficiency of the micronutrients B6, niacin, which is B3, B12, folic acid, so there's 1, 2, 3, 4 Bs, vitamin C, E, iron, or zinc mimics radiation effects in damaging the DNA. That's the stuff in the center of your cell. If that's damaged, it's the damage and replication of this stuff that makes cancer. Look at what they're saying. You're deficient in these B vitamins, deficient in your selenium E, your iron or zinc, your A plus zinc, on your stress Bs, that what's going to happen here, you're going to have the same problem with your DNA as radiation defects, which sets you up for cancer. Because what you get, it involves single and double-stranded breaks, oxidative lesions, or both. Now, I don't know how to say it any stronger, folks. Make absolutely sure that you are getting all of those products and that you're swallowing from a good food-based source. Okay? Let me show you this. First of all, if you eat lots of fried foods, you're going to wipe out your vitamin B6. Hot fats wipe them out. So eating French fries and potato chips, goodbye vitamin B6. Okay? And how do you know whether you're low in B6? Well, for one thing, you tend to have dry eyes at night. For another thing, you don't dream in technicolor. And it's kind of nice looking at your jacket, nice color there. But in dreams, for people low in B6, it just looks gray. And they can't even remember their dreams if you're low in B6. The other thing is that if you're really low in B6, you tend to get grease in the nasal folds right around there, okay? You get lots of grease there, all right? So, alcohol also lowers B6. B3, sulfa takes that down, so does alcohol, so does being on the birth control pill, or Premarin. That's horse urine, in case you don't know, all right? And There are other things you should be on rather than that. And food processing also lowers niacin. For B12, sunlight, or drinking way too much water. Do you know how much is the correct amount of water to drink? Your weight in pounds divided by 2 equals the ounces of good non-fluoridated water you should be drinking per day. Why did I say non-fluoridated? Because fluorine is the strongest anti-enzyme factor known other than acid or fire. Okay? It's a tremendous anti-enzyme factor. Now, that means good water. Now, the boys did the research and found out that there's a curve like this, like a dome. And all nutrition is fluid-borne into your cells, and all waste product is fluid-borne out. And you want to be right at the top of this dome for maximum efficiency, okay? There's a dome, and you want to be right at the top there. And it turns out your weight in pounds divided by 2, and then that's the amount of water in ounces you should be drinking per 24 hours. Which tells us that the skinnier you are, the juicier you are. Okay. Now the other thing too is, what really astounded the boys doing the research was this. It took 3 months at that level of drinking before the human body was adequately hydrated. Isn't that incredible? Okay, well, we'll continue on here. How do you get rid of folic acid? Well, if you're on the birth control pill, that's another way of doing it. Boiling things, and if you're on sulfa drugs, okay? Your vitamin C, you know, goes down if you're taking aspirin. If the doctor puts you on aspirin to keep your blood thin, there are other things that work, but it knocks down the vitamin C, so you better be taking extra vitamin C. If you're smoking, again, among other things with us young people, kisses should be delicious and not taste like old butts. Okay. And the E, that goes down if you have excess iron or red meat. Also, chlorine in water tends to pull E down. Iron, if you eat an awful lot of eggs, like one man I know ate 9 eggs a day, he was wondering why he was anemic, and that was why. And a great overdose of whole wheat. If you're one of those that eats 4 slices at every meal, 3 or 4 times a day. And of course, what pulls zinc down is great big red meat eating, as well as cadmium or welding fumes. If you're a welder, like I've welded a lot of zinc pipe, the galvanized pipe, that's really high in cadmium, not very good for your zinc level. Okay? So now that we told you that a deficiency of all of those sets you up for a breakdown of your DNA. And it was found that from 22 to 20% of the United States population had less than 50% of the RDA levels of the previous mentioned micronutrients. Now that's terrible. Less than 50%. Now, deficiency of these, it was felt in the same article, explained in good part why the approximately 25% of the population that ate the fewest fruits and veggies, and that's supposed to be less than 5 portions per day, have the highest incidence of cancer. Okay? About double the rate of most types of cancer compared to those who ate the highest levels of fruits and veggies. Broad-spectrum foods, certified organic, which have 300 to 400% more nutrients than the commercial type, Smith and Chicago, and remember I showed you the graphs, and these vegetable-type supplements should lead to a major improvement in your health and longevity. And note, too, that those improvements can occur independently of the medical profession, which is a good way for it to be. And guess what? Your food and supplement bills will be cheaper than your medical bills. Now, and you don't have to worry that you'll have too severe changes when you eat well. There it is. I don't think all that natural food is doing you any good. Okay? Well, one of the things you have to be aware of the fact that there's a different thinking going on with out there in the medical profession, and look at that one. Treating illnesses can be cheaper than prevention, doctor says. Okay. Now, what is that telling you? It's telling you that money is the most important thing rather than the patient. I think that's a terrible thing. And this is what the doctors are telling us now. I just wonder, yeah, and it's from Calgary too. Okay.
He can't be from Calgary.
He can't be from Calgary, someone says. Okay. Well, so what we're saying is supplement so that you don't at least get to see that doctor.
Yeah.
All right? All right. Now, supplementing the usual diet can improve an aspect of the body's function. A study utilizing so-called healthy appearing in... Now, you may say, well, I'm healthy. This is what my older son tells me all the time. Dad, I'm as healthy as a horse. Okay, so now I'm going to show you something for people about people that were as healthy as horses. This was a study utilizing so-called, they had to be healthy looking, say I've not had diseases, I'm okay. And what they were checking was the levels of enzymes in their red blood cells. Now, if your enzymes are in your red blood cells, what's that going to tell you? That's going to tell you that, among other things, you're going to have healthy red blood cells. Do you want healthy red blood cells? I want them healthy. I want them to be able to take on the oxygen that's supposed to take on, kick out the carbon dioxide they're supposed to kick out. I want them to do all the things they were designed to do, especially up here, because I want to keep what few marbles I got, all right? So here we go. This was noting the enzyme. This is Bayumi and Rosalki, big famous report in clinical chemistry. Here was it. They took healthy adults which had good enzyme levels in their red blood cells. They said those were good. Okay? So the enzymes tested were, you'll like these names, oxaloacetate, transaminase, reductase, and transketolase. Those were the three enzymes that they were going to check in the red blood cells. As long as those enzymes were, then they found out, oh, they were good. So guess what they did? They put them on some B vitamins. They gave them B1, or thiamine. They gave them B2. B1 is thiamine, yeah. B2 was the riboflavin. B6, the pyridoxal. I don't know whether they gave them the active or the inactive. But anyway, they gave them those three Bs. And when the three enzymes were measured after they'd been on those these Bs, they found these three enzymes were considerably higher. They had healthier red blood cells. But these were healthy people to start with. Now, this demonstrated that even apparently healthy individuals benefited from taking supplements, in this case from bees, okay? It helps your red blood cells. Then the authors note, these healthy subjects getting all the intake they required for good enzyme function had significant increase in their enzymes. And this disturbed those guys. If they were healthy, why did this occur? In other words, the supplements made them better than they were. Well, I don't know about you. I don't mind being better than the average individual my age. When I had that bad accident there, I couldn't move without a walker. And I was going along with a walker like this on the fourth day, and I folded it up. My wife says, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting rid of this thing. It's got a spirit of old in it." Okay? So I said, why, if they were healthy, did this occur? And then notice what they say. I think this is the funniest thing. We do not believe that these increased enzyme activities should be chosen as normal. Isn't that something? Normal reference values. For to do so would imply that the healthy population is vitamin deficient. Oh, no, we mustn't imply that, must we? After all we've seen in the animals and the beef you could be eating and the hamburger and the grapefruit and so on, which by definition is not true. Wait a minute, who made that definition up? Because an adequate vitamin intake is regarded as the amount, get this, sufficient for physiological requirements for health. Yeah, I don't know whether I should say A or duh, or what there? But note their thinking of health means no frank illness obvious by definition. So if you've gotten used to looking at sick people, well, that's normal. Because there's a lot of them out there, that must be normal. Well, that's not the way I want you to think. You've got to learn to help yourself, okay? And one of the things you've got to do, you know, even everywhere nowadays, look at this, that's really helpful of you, sir. We're terribly understaffed, okay? Broad spectrum versus narrow spectrum supplements. We'll just make a comment or two on that. Now look at this. This was research done at New Jersey College in Mental Dentistry. Look at this. Medicine and dentistry, rather, mental dentistry. Alzheimer's coming too soon. Okay. Now on this left one here, you have percent increase in blood. Now notice here, we're going to have a look at the narrow spectrum vitamin C as ascorbic acid bought from, say, anywhere. Now, you'll notice that what these people can say here, I'm going to use one of the tines of the fork, I think, if one's sticking out a little farther. You'll notice right here, does that show up very good? Okay, I've got, yeah, pen, please, I can borrow that for a second. You'll notice right here, after taking this 2,000 milligram doses, the people selling this narrow spectrum stuff will put on their ads, after taking our vitamin C, you had almost a 750% increase in your blood levels of vitamin C in 4 hours. And that looks pretty good when that's printed in that medical journal or whatever it is. However, that's a narrow spectrum product. Give 2,000 of the stuff which got transport proteins, lipids, complex carbohydrates, etc., and you will find that the same 2,000 dose in 4 hours doesn't just give you, say, a little less than 750%. It gives you almost 5,000% increase at the same time. Isn't that something? Not only that, but 24 hours later, that same dose is still 28.7 times higher than the narrow spectrum one. Which one do you think I put patients on that I'm treating that need to have high levels of vitamin C, which cancer does not like? Eh? Absolutely. I do not put them on this. And yet they come to me and say, well, this was much cheaper. I could name a company for you that we checked some of this. Here is a product here reputed to be as good or better because people like its science. And this is the one some of my patients come on. And they say, well, I'm on your program, but they're not taking on what I'm recommending. And I say, no, you're not. If you're on my program, we see some results very often. We don't get it all, but we certainly get a lot more than other people were getting. But this is a one that's advertised on TV. I see it 3 or 4 times a day. Okay, but here's the real, and there's the real stuff. It's just absolutely loaded. Okay, good. So I have an oxidation reduction potentiometer. Don't worry about the name. It's a piece of equipment that even the probe costs $175. That what it does, you crush things up. Anything that donates an electron is an antioxidant. Okay? So if it's donating electrons, it's an antioxidant. So we were going through here, and we checked all the vitamins. We went to drug stores, health food stores. We picked up a whole big table full of bottles. And here we were setting it up and checking all of these. We checked Edmonton's water, which turned out to be a positive 315, which told us that although it satisfied your thirst, if you had cancer, it was helping the cancer, and it was also going to help you age faster. Okay? So then we put the various vitamin C's in, and it dropped it down to maybe about 185. So we crushed them. But one company, see, we crushed up, and I don't dare mention it publicly, but it's one that the doctors recommend. We put their C in, and instead of it coming down, it went up. On the positive side, telling us that whatever it was not donating electrons, it was stealing them. It was not an antioxidant. Now, so we thought somebody had spoofed something. So we stopped, recalibrated everything, and started all over again, and got exactly the same results. So that's not a good one to take. It's the one the doctors often recommend. Here is a product here reputed to be as good or better because people like its science. And this is the one some of my patients come on. And they say, well, I'm on your program, but they're not taking on what I'm recommending. And I say, no, you're not. If you're on my program, we see some results very often. We don't get it all, but we certainly get a lot more than other people were getting. But this is a one that's advertised on TV. I see it 3 or 4 times a day. Okay? But there's the real, and there's the real stuff. It's just absolutely loaded. Okay? Good. Okay. Well, studies have shown that the higher your levels of vitamin C are associated with the inhibition of colorectal tumor growth. So if you have cancer in the colon, vitamin C works, and especially if it's with vitamin E, that's Spiegelman and his group. Vitamin C decreases sorbitol, which is a sweetener, and you see the polysorbate and sorbitols and so on. You should never, you read the labels and don't take that. Sorbitol loves to collect in the lens of the human eye, especially if you have diabetes. And so it makes cataracts. Don't do it. Vitamin C also enhances aluminum excretion from the body. And a lot of people get aluminum from the body. Prevents its accumulation in bone. Aluminum is in water supply. Sodium aluminum fluoride, okay? So that's one of the ways you get a high aluminum. And in antacids is another place that can increase leg bone pain. I've had cases where one man I'll never forget in the packing industry came in to me, says, and he cried. First time in his life he'd ever cried. He was about 44 years of age. He said, I have to go off work. I cannot walk. And I looked at him and I said, you look a bit stressed. Oh, I've been terrible stressed. And he'd been taking a lot of antacids for his gastritis and ulcer. Loaded with aluminum, and he had terrible bone pain. So we took him off of that, told him to chew CalMag. He came back a week later, and he says, man, oh man, that's a miracle. He says, I don't have to go off work. 2 days, my bone pain was gone. I'll never forget that one. I've had others, but that was the worst. So vitamin C gives resistance to histamine-induced asthma. Histamine peaks at about 4 a.m. in the morning. So when you're drinking the amount of water I told you should drink, you will be up to pass water, and that's the time for you to take your vitamin C. If you have asthma, it'll prevent you from having problems. Vitamin C gives resistance to atherosclerosis by increasing your good cholesterol, which tends to clear blood vessels, and that's by Jacks. Vitamin C lowers total cholesterol, it lowers your bad cholesterol, it decreases platelet aggregation. Those are your clotting cells that like to stick together, then so that if you're cut, you don't bleed to death, okay? And increases fibrolytic activity. What do I mean by that? I'll show you. When we get older, we have fibrin. Fibrin in our body is called fibrinogen, means generating fiber, okay? Now, when we're younger, we have this kind of fibrin, very little of it there, and the reason being it's a dissolved fiber. When it hits oxygen, the oxygen changes it so it's no longer dissolved, makes a network, traps clotting cells, and now we clot so we don't bleed to death. However, in many cases, as we get older, fibrin can increase. It can increase such a level. My wife was putting her hands in my pocket. 50 and a half years she's been putting her hands in my pocket.
We're so late.
You'll notice here as we age, you tend to get more of this fibrin. And it will get so heavy in there that all you need to do is get extra oxygen from extra exercising, and you can, and it'll change these fibers from dissolved ones to the real ones to make clot in your blood vessel. You get a young person in their 40s that has a heart attack. Very often we find their fibrinogen generating fibrin. Their fibrinogen levels are up. Fibrin growth rate is the factor related to heart attacks. So, what do you do to bring that down? Very interesting. Solution is fibrinolysis. In other words, dissolving them, getting them back to the where you were when you were sweet 16 and never were kissed, never even thought of it. Okay? And by far the most effective product to increase fibrinolysis is garlic. It works better than any drug they've got out there for it. Okay? That's your garlic licorice. And vitamin C, as we just mentioned, also tends to do this for you, so that you end up having a fibrinogen level that's like you were a young person, like mine. Okay. Well, vitamin C also enhances iron absorption greatly. It improves your glucose, the glucose tolerance in diabetics. It decreases intraocular pressure in glaucoma. So those of you who have glaucoma should be on your vitamin C, especially if it's broad spectrum C. And what is even better is Acerola cherry source. That was Lane studies in New York. I had glaucoma badly, and when they gave me the drops, I had a cardiac arrest. It was a good thing I was in a medical clinic when I got the drops. And my nurse ran to one of my colleagues and said, "Dr. Taylor's gone." They looked, what, a quarter after 10 in the morning? Boy, is he ever lucky. "We don't mean that, we mean he's gone." And they looked and they came rushing in, and there was a guy out. And when I came to, they looked at me and they said, "What have you been doing?" And so I'd put these drops in they told me to put in for treating glaucoma. Well, and that gave me a cardiac arrest. So they said, "Oh, we got to get you to the hospital and we'll do it all over again." I said, "No, not with this guy, you're not." Yeah, because I don't know whether you'd get me back the second time. So that was it. So I did a lot of research and I found Lane's work, found out that if you took an organic-based vitamin C, not the ascorbic acid, like is in Acerola chewable C's, that your eye pressure drops down in direct proportion to the amount of the organic type broad-spectrum vitamin C you take, not according to the other. So the Acerola cherry worked. I started taking Acerola cherry, and my eye pressure dropped from 29 down to 16 and a half. Which is perfectly normal. So I don't use the drops. I would rather not have. And guess what? Acerola cherry hasn't given anyone a cardiac arrest that I know of. I know one doctor that didn't believe me that it was as good as real potent stuff. And he loved the taste of them, so he used them as candy all day long. And he'd been 4 days at home not being able to go to work because of his diarrhea. Now here's... Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to show you something here. If you want to find out whether you've got a good vitamin E, this was Horowitz's work, and he died just recently, and Horowitz et al. And notice this. This is the vitamin E that's synthetic. Here is zero, here's 8 hours after swallowing the 800 international units of E. There's 24 hours. There's 48 hours, or 2 days after the one dose, right? Here is the most supplements at pharmacies and health food stores. The usual standard is right here, okay? Now, a lot of people say, well, the succinate is far better than the usual standard DL, which is synthetic. You know how I remember DL as synthetic? This is lousy, DL. Okay, look at this. It's not really, because it does give you some blood level bump up, like here. But now, at the same dose, if you take some from wheat germ, straight from wheat germ, this is the acetate, which is the oil rather than the powder, and you'll notice that the same dose here, that the level goes up way high here, and drops down to here. If you add pectin to it, you get some synergism. Where do you get pectin from? The white pulp of lemons and limes, and also from apples and applesauce. So they add pectin. Guess what? There it goes up. Synergism right here in about 8 hours. It peaks right up here, drops down, and after 24 hours, there isn't any synergism left with that pectin there. But you did get a boost at the same level of vitamin E here. If you now take the simple straight vitamin E without the selenium, and you would put this on here, you would get what we call the berry itself, and look at it way up here, okay? Now what's interested here with this particular one, you'll notice if you took one of those every other day, every 2 days, you took one of them. Notice your blood level is here, go right over here, and it's higher than taking the simple ones from most pharmacies and health food stores is here. And you take this one every day, you still wouldn't be as high with this particular one every other day, and that's without the selenium, which raises the selenium, puts it somewhere up over here. Okay? Well, some people say supplements are tough on you, or they're dangerous. Remember, we've had all sorts of medical articles saying they're dangerous. Well, here's a list of the number of people that died as a result of taking vitamins in the whole of the United States. Okay? They have one. And then it turned out when they investigated that was a reporting error, so that's supposed to be a zero. So you have zero all the way through. Okay? As a matter of fact, they said that they're approximately 2,000 times safer than drugs. So look at what do they take your supplements. It's a spare thing you can do, and wise people always take along spares. There you are. Okay. There he is. Spare rower, and there. So it's called being wise and safe, okay? Okay. Okay. Now look at, now I think there's just a couple of others I wanted to show one other one here. We're just about at the end here. Yeah, here's one. No, that'll save that till last. Okay. Excuse me 1 second. I'm just going to pull a book out because I've got two. Oh, bless your heart. Thank you. Okay. Remember we showed you two rats? Here were two pigs. One of them went on narrow spectrum and one on broad spectrum. Look at the difference in the size of those. They're the same age. Okay. That was Bogota in Colombia. So that was one. I wanted to show you that one. And there was one other in here I just wanted to tell you. Then I'm going to show you a picture. And if you don't remember anything about this talk, you will remember this picture. You'll wonder why I'm showing you a picture of an orchard. But I will tell you why I'm showing you a picture of an orchard. Here it is, right here. Okay. Now look at this. I want you, if you get nothing else out of this, learn this lesson. And I'm going to show you an orchard. There it is there in black and white. Now, you will notice a couple of things here in this orchard. You can see here a tree that has lost all its foliage, and most of the apples are lying down here, or the oranges rather. Okay? You can see trees over here that have their full foliage in them. Here's another tree with all its foliage down, and it's a little hard to see these here. Okay, those were oranges that were deficient. These ones were deficient in magnesium, manganese, copper, and zinc. These trees here, they used full spectrum fertilizer from our cows and so on. These were the NPK trees here, the narrow spectrum soil supplement. A frost came through that night, the night before these pictures were taken. These trees shed most of their fruit and all of their leaves, and here were these looking just as healthy the night before. What is this telling us? This is telling us that even things growing in our soil, and it applies to us if we're eating this kind of stuff here, or if we're eating this kind of stuff here. It's saying that under stress, people that are involved in narrow spectrum diet or narrow spectrum supplements are going to lose their leaves. Okay? Some of us look like we lost them a long time ago. Okay? Yeah. In other words, you do not do well under stress if you don't have what's necessary to give you resistance to stress. And that is good broad spectrum nutrients. And it will give you resistance. Just to give you an example, I hate to use myself as an example, but we can do that. I had a very bad accident, 12 feet up on a ladder, just got finished. I was on a porch. There was a hidden knot under the 2x6. It looked like a perfectly normal 2x6, but the knot punched through because the perfect board was less than about a sixteenth of an inch thick. Knot punched through. Threw me off 12 feet through the air, and I landed on a 4-inch fence post without my hands or my feet hitting the ground. Just like so. Okay? I tore the artery right off my gallbladder. I went in. Of course, I was in the hospital. They opened me up, and they told my wife, "Sorry, you've lost your husband. Get the children up here. We got to tell him. There's no way this man can survive. He's number 77 we've seen. Some people got kicked with a horse or got the handlebar of a snowmobile or a motorbike right in there." They opened me up. I was rotted inside. I lost a big chunk of my liver. I think one of them estimated 25 to 30% of my liver. I lost a big chunk of my abdominal wall. And I was in the intensive care unit for 17 days. I lost 42 pounds in that 17 days. And they told my wife, I think every day for 7 days, look it, don't get your hopes up, this man is dead. We've had he's the 77th case like that in this hospital. He's the oldest and the worst we have ever seen of all of them. Not a single one lived 4 days. All 76, I checked on it after, all 76. The one healthy-looking man made almost 4 days. And 17 days after, I discharged myself out of the hospital because they started feeding me Jell-O. Which is more than 50% sugar, and it's got dye in it that's been reported to the FDA to be tested because it's carcinogenic. And the sugar paralyzes your white blood cells for 5 hours. And you remember, and they brought me those artificial eggs. And I kept remembering those rats. And I said, wait a minute, they died in 21 days, and I've been here 17 days. They said, you can't go. You're all connected to all the tubes. I said, no problem. Out came that one. Out came this one. Out came another one. But I still did, I had one that they sewed in, and it had a bag on it because of the it was still draining from the gangrene and so on around the liver. And I went home. Because I was sure if I'd stayed there those other days, I wasn't going to make it. I'm the only one out of 77 being the worst and the oldest. And they one doctor came in after. He says, well, we don't like you going home because you're going to die anyway. And I looked at him, you know. And I said, how do you know that? He said, because you can't live that way. I've been dealing with this problem a lot more than you have. I'm the surgeon. Well, I said, well. He said, one thing I do know. Your immune system just wouldn't plunge. And I said, oh, that's good. You must have somebody up there that's looking after you. I said, oh, yes, I know him. Do you want to hear about him? And he said, oh, no. Well, I said, well, I'm also into nutrition. Do you want to hear? Oh, no, I don't believe in that. And I said, you know, that's interesting. You don't believe any of the real good stuff, do you? Well, there you go, folks. There it is. She slammed the door down, and he says, I thought I told you to ease up on the vitamins, Mrs. Kibble. Okay. So you don't need to worry. Some doctors need their doors knocked down. Thank you very much.
All right.